Welcome to BlindBargains.com coverage of CSUN 2015. The biggest names, provocative interviews, and wall-to-wall exhibit hall coverage. Now here's Joe Steinkamp.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to one of our recordings from CSUN 2015. This time out, James McCarthy of HIMSS, one of our proud sponsors of our coverage, will be speaking to us about EBOT. Note that he'll be using an Android tablet and talking about some of the changes that have happened to the unit over the past year in its release. And now, we'll take you straight to the audio from CSUN 2015.
My name is James McCarthy, and I'm the president of HIMSS. I'm also low vision. And that's one of the reasons why I often do the presentation on our low vision products, because I'm a user of the products. Remember that commercial, like the product so much, I bought the company? Well, I like the product, so I came to work for the company. And today's session is on EBOT. Anyone know why we named it EBOT? What does EBOT stand for? Education Robot. That was the original name, and the reason is, HIMSS, until this product, HIMSS did not have a video magnifier that had a distance viewing, which a lot of the students in schools, a lot of the teachers, a lot of schools want to have a distance magnification products for low vision students. So they can see what's going on in the front of the room, sides of rooms. And so this was our entree product into the distant video magnification marketplace, primarily for education. That's why the project was called Education Bot. But these products are also for visually impaired rehabilitation clients. So it's also known as employment bot. And guess what? When somebody uses it at home, like connected to a 24, 27, 32, any size monitor, as long as it has an HDMI HD port, okay? It's a high definition port. If you're connected to VGA, it's not high definition. Any product out there that connects to an external monitor using VGA is not HD. Even if their camera's in HD, the image will not be in HD if it's connected, unless it's connected via HDMI, okay? Little some tips of the vision field. So for the home user who might normally use it with a larger monitor, since they're using it in the home, we call it everybody's bot. So the E worked out great. What I have here is the EBOT Pro, which is a top-of-the-line model. There are two other models. And I'll go through the three models for you. The basic model is the EBOT, with no suffix after it, just plain EBOT. And that's a reading, writing, and distance video magnifier. Okay, then we're going to go up a level, and I'll give you the primary distinguishing feature. The EBOT Advanced is the next level up. It's our mid-level model, and it's advanced because we add OCR text-to-speech to it. So the camera can now be reading, writing, distance, and optical character recognition with text-to-speech. So it's going to read out loud. But the EBOT Advanced, the OCR, is not a full-page OCR. What it is it's an image capture OCR. What you see on the screen is what you'll hear. What you see is what it's going to read out loud. Very important. Now, how much of the image can it capture? Generally, if you have the zoom of the camera set up to about 7x, and depending on the font size, depending on the column widths, you're going to get the whole 8.5x11 page across, and you'll get about 50 to 60% down a page. So two snapshots, if you adjust your page properly, will get you a full page. Okay, but it's a screen capture OCR. The next level up is the EBOT Pro. Very important to remember. We've already had people get confused between EBOT Advanced and EBOT Pro. Our apology for confusing people by our high-tech names. A lot of people say, well, why isn't the Advanced the higher model if it's Advanced? We don't know why. The Pro stands for professional, and that's what we tried to do. And the EBOT Pro, the main difference compared to the Advanced is it'll do a full page scan. Okay? You can actually choose from a menu the image capture scan, or you can have a full page scan. The EBOT Pro actually adds an OCR camera. So the EBOT and EBOT Advanced only has a live video camera. The live video camera is not capable of the full page OCR scan. That's why the Advanced model only does a screen image capture scan. But we've added the OCR camera to the EBOT Pro. So the EBOT Pro has two cameras. And the OCR camera is capable of the full page scan. So from the menu, you can choose. The screen capture scan, in which case it's going to take the picture from which camera? Live video camera. When you select the full page scan, it's going to take the image from the OCR camera. Okay? But also, the eBot Pro adds motorization to the camera. It's the only motorized video magnifier for low vision on the market today. And I'll show you the motorized skills of it, and I'll show you some of the benefits to having a motor built into the camera. Okay, everybody understand the three models? Okay, before someone asks at the very end, what's the prices? I'll give you the prices now. So the eBot is $2,695. The eBot Advanced is $300 more, so that's $2,995. And the eBot Pro jumps up to $3,895. And in that $3,895 category, it offers multiple things more than what products priced at $39.95 used to offer. It's in that price category, just under $4,000, but offers a lot more. Okay, what about connectivity? What does someone already know about connectivity with eBot? What does it connect to? A monitor, okay. That's a big giveaway. Yeah, participate. I got a future daily chocolate bars for right answers. iPad, all right, give her a chocolate bar. That was easy, right? What else is it connected? Laptops. What kind of laptops? All? Did you say all? It'll connect to Mac laptops or PC laptops. Both. And many products in the reading, writing, and distance category only connect to PC laptops, not to Macs. I believe there's only three, maybe four, reading, writing, and distance video magnifiers that will connect to both Mac and PC laptops. Most of them connect only to PC laptops. And it also connects to a monitor. So it has the most versatile connectivity of any reading, writing, and distance video magnifier. Why? Because we're the only one that connects to tablets, iPad and Android tablets. And what did we do to connect to tablets? I'll give you a little history of the product. When we designed the product, one of the goals we had was to be the first to connect to iOS and Android tablets. And if we could do so, it would have to be done wirelessly, because you cannot just connect a video cable from an iPad or an Android tablet from a camera into the iPad or Android. There's no video in. There's a video out. Companies have done that. You just go to Walmart, you buy the proper cable, you go to Best Buy, buy the proper cable, and you can connect the video out from an iPad into a large monitor. A lot of the desktop video magnifier companies were doing that. And people were, wow, I can display my iPad on a large monitor. You don't need a video magnifier to do that. All you need is a monitor. Okay? And that's basically what we're doing with this monitor, but you would do the same thing with an iPad or an Android tablet. You can do video out, but you can't do video in. So we knew we'd have to do it wirelessly. So the first thing we tried was Bluetooth. Guess what? Bluetooth is too slow. So the second thing we were going to try is Wi-Fi. So we looked and looked and looked, and we couldn't find any Wi-Fi chips or technology that would compress the video image. And I have the eBot facing me. And as we move, we need a dynamic image, not a static image. There was a chip on the market that you could put a page under camera, snap the picture of the full page, shoot it over Wi-Fi, it would display on monitor. Big deal. That's called a screenshot. That's called a print screen on your computer. Simple press of a button. But nothing was dynamic. So we said, oh no, what are we going to do? Well, we said, we'll develop it. We had no idea how hard that was going to be, how many man hours it would take, how much time it would take. So the product had three starts and restarts, or the project had three starts and restarts, and came out about a year later than we thought. And how we did it was over Wi-Fi. But guess what? We can't use a building's Wi-Fi, a school's Wi-Fi, a government Wi-Fi, a public Wi-Fi. Guess why? Sometimes it's fast enough and sometimes it's not. So when there's more people on a Wi-Fi system, what does it do? It slows down. The signal strength goes down. So what would be happening is when the signal strength was high, we'd have a good image. Signal strength is low, the image starts to fade. The characteristics start to fade. You don't get good contrast. You may not even switch image modes. You may not even change magnification levels. There may be a delay in changing. So we said, oh, we got to control the signal strength. So the first thing we did, we put a dedicated Wi-Fi chip. So EBOT is its own Wi-Fi network. Okay, we don't need anybody's Wi-Fi. We can go under a tree and we can use it. Okay, in the college campus, school campus, I want to read under a tree. Okay, take your EBOT and take your iPad. So the first thing we did was we established our own dedicated Wi-Fi. So it is a hotspot, it is an access point, but it's not a network in the way you think of an Intel. You cannot access anything else other than an EBOT compatible device that has our EBOT viewer on it. Okay. The second thing we had to grapple with was the dynamic speed because of the movement. So we had to do a lot of video compression technology, and we had to compress the video so that every movement of the paper or every movement of the camera could be recorded very quickly, compressed, shot over the Wi-Fi, decompressed, displayed on the screen, and the eye would not know that there was any change other than the movement of some characteristic on the screen. Or when we changed any features from, in the case of EBOT and EBOT Advanced, you can change features from the back control panel. Or in the case of the EBOT Advanced and EBOT Pro, you have a remote control. Or if you're connected to an iPad, Android, or even a Windows device like the Microsoft Surface, you can use touchscreen gestures. And whenever you made these changes, we needed to make sure that the compression speed was fast enough. So it took a lot of compressing and compressing and more compressing. And we actually have probably a very marketable technology in terms of our compression technology. So that's what we have to do to get this working wirelessly. So you see it on the screen now. Actually, right now it's just on a, I'll just pull it over so we have all text. It's actually looking at a page, looking at the EBOT brochure. How about if we pass out the EBOT brochures at this point? I think the audience, those of you with vision anyway, can probably multitask. You can look over a few features. That way, if I don't mention something and you happen to have read about it, you'd like me to elaborate, more than happy to do it. So let's pass out the brochure and you'll know what the EBOT is looking at. So we can actually, this is a Pro. So the Pro does not have the buttons on the back control panel. We have to install some additional electronics. We only make one size of EBOT. So all of the EBOTs are the same size. Although the Pro will weigh a little more because it has the extra camera and it has the motor for built in. So it's going to weigh about a pound, 1.2 pounds more. Okay. But other than that, they're the same structure. So because the back panels are all the same and we had to put additional hardware electronics into it, there's no room for the buttons. So we don't have the back control panel as a user interface in the Pro. So I'll use our remote for now. So we can actually increase size. Let me turn on the voice. It has a built-in voice guide. There it is. Okay, the power just needs to be reset.
Volume 13. Volume 14. Volume 13. Zoom 10.
Okay. So it has a built-in voice guide. And this is a tough question. Anybody know why we built the voice guide into the EBOT? Think about how we go about using it. Think about how other products in the market work. Okay, the hint is other products only have the OCR text-to-speech when they're connected to a laptop or a PC. Comment was?
No, sorry.
Okay. Why? Because it's using the power of the computer. It's using the voice of the computer. So you're limited for OCR text-to-speech. In our case, it doesn't matter what device you're connecting to, a laptop, an iPad, an Android, a monitor, just a monitor, standalone monitor, you always can have your OCR. text-to-speech. So that's why we put the voice in. But in addition to that reason, guess what? It gives you a secondary or reinforcement. So when I zoom, it tells me...
Zoom 11.
What level I'm at.
Zoom 12.
Okay. What is the zoom telling
zoom
me?
Zoom 15.
Trick question. Is that the magnification level? No. Why? Because monitor size is one of the determinants of magnification. And of course, we're talking linear magnification, not optical. So right now we have it connected to a 15-inch monitor. If this were a 17-inch monitor, I know the measurement. It's 1.4x to 69x. If it's a 9.7-inch iPad, it's 0.8x, so under 1x, 0.8x to 35x. When it's connected to a 24-inch monitor, it's 2.2x to 97x. Okay, that's the range. It has 60 zoom levels, and the zoom is referring to the zoom of the camera. The camera's got 60 zoom levels. Okay, so that's one thing that's very important, the zoom levels, not the magnification, but it's sort of irrelevant on a functional basis. If somebody generally reads at zoom 12, then it's 12 is their size for most materials on this size screen. So if they connect to a different device with a smaller or larger screen, they know smaller screen, I might have to boost the zoom up a few levels. Larger screen, I might want to take it down a few levels to get to my normal, comfortable reading size. Okay? We can change images. I was having, as you saw me, fiddling with the direction of the e-bot. It was because of these overhead spotlights. They can sometimes shine right down, and it oversaturates given that we already have a built-in LCD. Most cameras in this category don't have a built-in, did I say LCD? I think I did. It's a built-in LED light that's built around the camera. We have 4 points of light. Most products in this category don't have a built-in LED light. We do. You can turn it on or off. So when you take it to different environments that have different overhead lights, then, or if you're in a darker area, you can use the lights, not use the lights. So that's what we were experimenting with. And we were trying all kinds of angles. What we should have actually tried was the angle like a user. If I sat behind this table, I'd be using the e-bot like a user right now. Okay, so we should have tried the obvious first, but I didn't. And so we can change image modes, and I'm just pressing...
Black on white.
So that's the image mode button. Let me just get more text on there so you can see it. Let me make it just a little larger.
Zoom 27. Grayscale.
So grayscale is your black and white photo mode.
Yellow on black. Yellow on blue. Green on black. Natural color.
Natural color is your full color mode, looking at color images.
White on black.
Now, there's also 40 levels of contrast, so I can take contrast up or down from 1 to 40. And what I'm doing is I'm actually using the middle section of the remote control. Okay, most products don't have a remote controller, by the way, too. You have to just use controls on the unit or the controls off of your laptop. Okay, this has a remote control. So I was using the middle section. The top section is for navigation. The middle section is for your video magnifier features. Your bottom section is for OCR. So even though it looks like we have a dozen or so buttons on here, when you separate it into the three sections, very simple. What do I want to do? Navigate, I use the top. What do I want to do? Change your video magnification feature, I use the middle. What do I want to do? OCR, I'll use the bottom. Okay, so the e-bot Pro, because it has a motor, one of the things we can do is, portable units normally don't have an XY moving tray like the desktops do. Why? I'm full of whys, aren't I? I'm like a two-year-old. Because we want to save the weight, we want to save the bulk, so it's portable or transportable. So what we've done, which no one else has done because the camera's motorized, we gave you a joystick. And we can move, you saw me moving the image before, but we can read across the line. I won't use the return button because it's preset to a certain position. I didn't change it from what we were using in the exhibit hall. And we can go back using our joystick, slower, faster. We can read across the next line. If we needed to, we could move down or we can move up and just read across. Try the joystick, see how sensitive it is. And you'll get a candy bar for that.
Is there an automatic viewing mode?
There is. There's a button called auto. and you can press the auto. You can set the speed of the auto reading mode in the menu. There's various speeds. You know, that's if you can read automatically. A lot of people can't. Normal words, short words, you can read. When you're low vision, then you come across a long word, a foreign word, a long name of a person, you get stuck. So you end up taking control again, you know, with the joystick or stopping it. And you can pause and you can resume even in auto mode, but you kind of have to learn the skill of using
Zoom 26, Zoom 25.
There we go, experimenting. All right, candy bar. Okay, so it's real easy. Did you find the joystick too sensitive?
No.
No? And we're set on the slow mode at the moment. There are faster modes. There's three levels right now. So you can actually set your joystick sensitivity within those three levels. Okay. We may add more levels depending on market, you know, customer feedback. We'll see. One thing with HIMS, I'll point out, you bought today, when we come up with firmware updates, it updates over Wi-Fi. Remember, we're Wi-Fi. So we can have eBot do dedicated things. As long as it's dedicated to the eBot, we can have it do things with its Wi-Fi. And one thing is, when we come out with a firmware update, it'll update over Wi-Fi, its own Wi-Fi. Okay? And all updates from HIMS are free. Always have been, always will be. We're the company in our industry that pioneered free firmware updates. No SMAs, no software maintenance agreements. Okay? Yes?
Have you tried with three-dimensional objects?
I beg your pardon?
Have you tried with three-dimensional objects?
Absolutely. No problem. We put pill bottles under it, as you would with any video magnifier. We put pill bottles under it, jewelry, coins, you know, got coin collectors, people wanting to see details on jewelry, no problem. You may have to adjust settings. Sometimes the jewelry might be better in the photo mode, the black and white grayscale photo mode. Other times in full color it might look better. May have to change the contrast settings. So you might have to do some experimentation with objects. Yeah, well, absolutely. And if you have a 3D object, you want to try it at the end of the session, feel free.
And you can control your focus through a joystick also?
The focus is an automatic focus. Yeah. You can actually turn the autofocus off. It's a combination of buttons. You can turn it off, and then you can manually go up or down, move the lens up or down to manually focus. So if you think you might be able to get a better focus than the built-in autofocus, you can take it into manual focus mode and try it using the up and down arrows. Then you have to remember to take it out of manual focus, put it back into autofocus. Otherwise, you end up calling our tech support line saying, it won't focus. There is an easy way. If you get lost, things aren't working, the first thing you do is you go into our menu, you go to initialization, and you can initialize, which is a reset, the entire unit, the reading camera only, or the OCR function only. Which obviously, if you only reset the live video camera or the OCR camera, it resets in quicker in about 10 seconds. If you reset the whole system, it's basically you power it off and power it back on. It's equivalent to that, and it's going to take about 30 seconds because it's going to reload everything.
There's a question to your left.
Yes, question.
I think it's almost answered, but with the fact that it autofocuses, and if you're looking at, say, jewelry, you can actually magnify it with a joystick, or was that also manual?
You don't magnify with the joystick, you navigate with the joystick.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, you pan and tilt in distance mode, you move left, right, up, or down on your page. When you're in reading mode, you magnify using the up and down arrows just below the joystick. Okay? When you're using the touch gestures of an iPad or an Android tablet, you can actually just use a pinch and spread to magnify. And I'll show you that in a moment. Okay, let's go ahead and go to distance mode. Let me see, maybe I can turn this around successfully. I don't like to play with it once it's set up, especially during a presentation, but we'll give it a try. Okay, I'm going to focus it out there, one of you. Okay, and whoever lands on, you get the end button. All right, so press the distance
button. Distance view.
See the camera moving by itself? That's from the motor. Okay.
It's taking front.
Oops.
Zoom 35.
And we'll change the contrast a bit.
Contrast.
You never look good, man.
Contrast 40.
This monitor is not the greatest for the color. When you come down to our exhibit booth, or if you look at it on a tablet, you're going to see the color a lot better. So who am I zooming on? You get a candy bar, Michelle. Find who we're zooming on. Raise your hand. Can you see?
Can't see.
No one screamed yet.
Yes, I can't see it.
Yeah, we can't tell, see?
Can't tell?
I can't tell.
Yes. Oh. Sunglasses on her head.
Raise your hand. Put your hand in front of your face. It's a little difficult. You know, like I say, if you come to the booth, we can zoom in on various things in the exhibit hall. You can zoom in on close, you can zoom in on far. The zoom is 60x, so you'll be able to see far. I had this at someone's home. I had no idea what was across the street. We zoomed out, it turned out it was a pasture. We were zooming on cows. You know, I mean, must have been 100 yards away, so we're zooming in on cows. Okay, so we can bring back. Now, one of the features, we can press it and it'll come back to reading mode. We just press the
view
button. Now, one of the features, besides being able to read by left, right, up, down, joystick, right? And when we're in distance mode, we can pan around the room. One of the other features is that it remembers its location in reading mode, and it remembers its settings in distance mode. So, for example, what word do we have on the screen? Or let's get a word on the screen here. Okay, we'll get this word here. What's that word there? Okay, one hour? One touch. Okay, we'll just position this a little bit. Okay, we'll position one touch right there. Let's go to distance mode. Remember how all other products work in the market? They're manual, not motorized. We're the only product with a motor. So the student or worker or someone at home would have to grab the camera, take it manually from the reading position, move it forward, find what they're looking at, pan around. Then when they want to come back to the reading position, they have to come back to where they are. Well, how do they know where they were? Okay? They would have to know, okay, I was reading here where it says one touch. And whereabouts is that on the page? So they move their finger and they bop their finger down there and they say it's about there on the page. Then they move it to distance, then they come back and try and fumble around to find a place. What we do is take it to distance.
Distance view.
Okay, the student's listening to the teacher, the presenter, the whole time.
Question before you go back.
Yep.
Do you have a freeze frame in the distance view? I mean, can I
yes, we
save
do.
Images?
Yes, you can capture an image. In distance view, it doesn't capture live. It captures to the SD card directly. So that's something we'll be speaking with the engineering about the concept. There are customers so far that have expressed an interest. If they can do a live capture, then from the live capture on the screen, then they can save it to the SD card. Because one of the features we have is an SD card slot, and you can save your OCR scans, and you can save your captured images to an SD card. So we're going to be looking at that. So right now, the capture image in distance mode, or in reading mode for that matter, are both direct saves to the SD card. We'll see if we can make an addition and allow it to be saved to the live screen.
So when you say that save yes, you mean I can't immediately pull that back up and look?
You can, but you'd have to go into the menu and you go to your saved images, and then you can pull it right back up.
Okay. Yeah. But you're saying what you want to do is make it so that it will, even though I just saved it, I can still see it live.
From a low vision user's point of view, it would be best if we could capture the image on the screen, see it live, and then we could decide to save it or not save it.
Right, because you might not have got a good shot.
Correct.
Yeah, I'm thinking about I'm sitting in a math class and their teacher's explaining a problem on the screen. Mm-hmm. I want to take shots at each step, you know, mm-hmm. and have them to save to look at later on.
Well, you should know what your shot is because you will see, you know, what you have on your screen before you capture it.
Yeah, right.
So you should be able to know what your shot's going to be. But it would be nice if you could capture it first and then manipulate it, because you can manipulate it once it's captured too. Uh-huh. You can resize it, you can change the image mode. So it would be nice if you could capture it live first, and then you could do any manipulation to it in size and image mode, etc., contrast level, and then save it.
Can you manipulate the saved image?
Yeah.
Yes, from a device, a computer device. You can manipulate it within the features of the e-bot, but if you want to manipulate it even more, then you put it in a computer and you can do a whole lot of things with images. Yeah.
Sure.
Is it a JPEG then that's
saved as? Saves as a JPEG. I know there's some HIMSS staff in the back. Does it save in other formats other than JPEG offhand? I think it might. Or JPEG the only. Maybe they left. They have meetings, international dealer meetings, and so they're coming and going. We've got about 15 staff here. So I know it saves a JPEG. That's how I always save it. I'm not sure if it saves in any other format.
Okay.
It won't save as a text file.
Right. So it does only make pictures, no live video?
We'll not do a live video recording, no. That is something on our specifications list, and hopefully we can get to that down the road, live video. Because that would also be important. Let's take a situation that a teacher has filled the room up with math equations, math formulas, and at the end of the class, it would be nice to just video the whole whiteboard.
Yeah.
You know? So that is something. We had that in the original specification, but then when we got, you know, we first tried to design the basics, and we get to the more complex things later in the development, and we found out later in the development a few things, and I'm not sure what our reason was for a non-video. It might have been some of the programming code and the path that the programming code took that we were not able to do the live video recording, or it could have been we began consuming too much memory in the system with all the features, and we wouldn't have enough memory to have that feature available and work properly like consumers would expect it to. But one of those two reasons, if not both, we weren't able to put that feature in at this time. Remember, we're going to be coming out with continual firmware updates. So as long as the hardware will support it, the software we will continue to manipulate and finesse more features into it.
Question in the back.
Yep.
I was wondering, so can you, if you're connected to a laptop, can you just save it to the laptop instead of the SD card?
Absolutely. You can save it. Yeah, use the power of your laptop. Use the memory of your laptop. Absolutely.
And then the other question is, do you have a split screen where you can have like your Word document up and running on your laptop while you're looking at distance?
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. And it's compatible with Zoom Text, although I've heard that we're having a few minor problems, but we're in contact with AI Squared, and both of us are trying to work out little things. But it is compatible with Zoom Text, so you could also use it with Zoom Text and use the Zoom Text feature to split the screen. Which many times people with low vision might want to have Zoom Text running, you know, as well as their video magnifier, and split the screen so both images will have large print. But nowadays, with a lot of the accessibility features on laptops, you can get a little bit of magnification. And there's also people with low vision that might want the print enlarged, but on the computer screen works fine for them at normal size or just a few larger fonts. So there's a lot of options there for split screen. And window and window will work too. You can often set up the window and window and shape each window. It doesn't have to be a horizontal or vertical split. Also, you can screenshot it onto I use an iPad usually, and everybody knows a trick, right? Home button and power button at the same time will screenshot it and save it directly into your photos. Mm-hmm. Yeah, mm-hmm. So you just do that. So we didn't even have to develop the feature for laptops or computers. We didn't have to develop the capture feature for tablets, because the computers and the tablets have that feature. Good questions. I keep talking about a tablet. Let me go in and connect the tablet. I have a Samsung here, which I've never used before. They wanted to keep the iPads at the exhibit booth, so I'm going to try this. Okay, so we've already set up the Wi-Fi. So if we went into our settings and our Wi-Fi, we will see eBook. In fact, if you have a phone or a tablet, you can go into your Wi-Fi and you'll see that eBook is listed. Just like any other Wi-Fi device will be listed, okay? So you'll see it, your neighbor will see it, other students in class will see it, the teacher can see it. But only the user that has the eBook Viewer app will actually be able to access the eBook. So the viewers are free, you can download them from the Apple Store or the Google Market. So if at a school you have five low vision students, you'd like all five of them to be able to use the one eBook. You can do that. You can download the app into all five iPads and they can come into a resource room and use it. But only one student can use it at a time. It's a single user interface right now. There's no broadcast capability to it. So we cannot broadcast the one eBook to five iPads. Can't do that right now. Also a feature we're considering. How are we doing, Tom?
I think we need to wrap up.
Okay. So let me just get it here. So I'm going to launch the app. Okay, you see him. The screen goes away. The tablet will take over. And let's see.
So you could also walk around with your iPad.
That's possible.
You're in distance.
There we are.
The cooler thing I think is you can pull it to your
Zoom 10.
Yeah.
Michelle, could you just why don't you come up here and I'll keep speaking and try and get the image. There we go.
Oh, I think it's okay. Yeah, you're just in distance.
Oh, okay, so go back to reading. Yeah, that's what we're doing.
Me with you.
And so we can just get it. So the image should be right on the not the iPad, but the Samsung Galaxy right now. Mm-hmm. Okay, and it's wireless. So yeah, you're right, we can walk
Zoom
around.
Zoom 28.
So I'll take it over. If you could control that for now.
Sure.
Now the distance is about 30, 50 feet. Okay, that's a Wi-Fi thing. It's not a hinge e-bop thing. But I can go ahead and use the pinch and spread.
Zoom 37.
Enlarge it.
Zoom 44.
I can decrease it.
Zoom 35.
Okay.
See
it. Just...
Zoom 42.
Okay.
Zoom 48.
Now, we can Zoom also, 38. We can bring on, so the you can do with the touch screen, all that we can do with the remote. So I just swipe in from the left side, from the right side, and I got my e-bot icons. Okay? So I can change the image mode. Whoops. I think I lost this for some reason. There we go. Bring my, okay, we can change image modes. I think I pressed something wrong here. I don't understand Androids. Michelle does. I apologize. I was fighting with them. Give me that iPad.
Okay.
I think I went to some other screen. All right. So from
previous
here,
color.
I should be able to.
Black on white. Grayscale. Yellow on black.
And I can go forward or backward through my colors. We can auto. You mentioned about auto scroll.
Right.
We actually have a function on here, an icon for auto. We can OCR. Let's hear it OCR. So let's take the size down. Michelle, can you take the size down? Small, do about
Zoom
four,
26.
About 4 or 5.
Zoom
six.
16.
Okay, then move it over
Zoom
a little.
Zoom 6.
To get it, so we don't have the graphics, but it knows it won't scan the graphics. You want to move it this way. Pardon me. Doesn't want to move. Let's see if I
Zoom
can.
Zoom 5.
Oh, you know what? A little small. Yeah, go ahead and take
the paper. The paper.
Oh, this one's the paper.
Zoom 4.
Okay, so let's go ahead and just do an OCR.
Previous color. Press again to capture.
Okay, we have to move our page. Okay, now we have our full page in. And I'll just bring my scanner back.
Full size OCR.
It's going to take a picture. The beeping, it's thinking, translating. Then it'll begin reading. And you can come to our booth, 705-805, right across the front and far left side of the exhibit hall. And we can experiment more, even with your documents. Just calculating the whole page. It shows you a progress bar on the screen. Maybe.
And have big glare spots on the screen.
Yeah,
the lighting in here is really
okay. Good. It could be that, because it is a little long. Normally it won't, it'll take about 5 to 20 seconds at most, and I think it might be a little approaching 20 seconds. If we came to the exhibit, I'm going to stop it.
The light stopped
there. Oh yeah, it aborted actually.
Portable video magnifier with Ocari E-bottom UV dash.
Had a problem.
SNJC. K-E-bottom, with single quote, EX0-SS, previous color.
I stopped it.
That sounds by Hanson, isn't it?
Come to the exhibit booth. I mean, we still have lighting issues, you know, and high overheads and everything, but you'll see that it's working very well. One of the things we have in the exhibit booth is we have a graphic of, I guess it's more like a blackboard, with various examples of math and English and so forth. So you can point it as if you're in a classroom. We're about 16 feet away, and you can experiment with the zooming and so forth. Now, it will only OCR scan when it's in reading mode. It won't OCR at distance, at least not right now.
Right.
So that's another important distinction. Question?
Do you have any plan to save, scan the file into the iPad?
To save a file into the iPad?
Yeah.
The text?
Right now you cannot do that. Right now all you can do is capture the image and save it as a JPEG into the folder.
So
any plans to do it? Yes, we will be experimenting with saving it right into text. We will be looking at that.
We hope so.
Yeah, we hope so. It would be nice to do it because that way you could capture an image in text, drop it directly into a Word file, Word document, and do, you know, so it's like a cut and paste is all you're doing, and then you could manipulate it from there, edit it, you know, change fonts, so you could do a lot.
Yeah.
So it would be nice if you could just drop text right into a document. Yeah. I know with, you know, you can drop, you know, we're working on things like, you know, having a spreadsheet and then dropping it in, you know, to Excel. But when you do that, you lose your formulas and so forth. So there's a lot that we have on the schedule to do, but not a lot of it's easy. Yeah. Okay. Thank you very much. We'll see you down in the exhibit hall. Yes. Yes.
Question about the Wi-Fi. You say it is a Wi-Fi of its own, but you can the Wi-Fi of the e-bot connect to the Wi-Fi in school or at home for the updates then? Or how do I get through Wi-Fi my updates?
For the update? It's a dedicated Wi-Fi, but all you do is go into the menu, which, and I swipe to get the e-bot icons, I swipe from the right side. Yeah. If you swipe from the left side, you bring the e-bot menu on. So we'll go to the e-bot menu, and the options menu, which is your default menu, we go down to information. Visualization. Yeah, we go down to information, and one of the options will be update. You select update. It tells you what version you have. So you scroll down to latest version. Did you want to do update a new version? You select it, and then it asks you how you want to do it.
Because
you
can also movement unavailable.
You can also do it by a USB connection from a computer. Mm-hmm. Let's assume you downloaded the file off onto an SD card, or you downloaded it into your computer. You can connect directly from your computer into eBot to update. But to do it by Wi-Fi, you just select Wi-Fi, and the camera automatically goes and searches for the link at our website. So it's programmed to do that.
But through which Wi-Fi?
Through the eBot's built-in Wi-Fi.
But it connects to your own how?
It connects to our own website, exactly. We got it to link with our website to go and collect the latest link.
But it's your.
So he's wondering, how does eBot connect to his home Wi-Fi to get to the internet?
Oh, it doesn't. eBot will never go to the internet.
No, but how can it get to the update then?
How can it get the update? By Wi-Fi? It goes to our website.
Yeah, but it has no internet, so.
We've directly programmed it to do that. The Wi-Fi chips allow us to do some direct programming, but we've directly given it the eBot viewer, so for your laptops and your iPads and Androids, we've given it a code, just like you can sort of think it as we've given it an app to go to our website, but the app is built in, it's transparent to the user. We've built an app to go to our website, look for the latest update, and then update automatically.
So you have to have your computer open to do the update on your website.
All we need to have is our eBot on, and we don't even have to have a monitor, because remember, the voice guide will speak you through the menus and everything, or you can connect the monitor up so you can see it as well, and as long as you select the Wi-Fi update option, it will go out to our website automatically.
Does it have
4G, or does it go...
Yeah, you're right. I mean, yeah. Technically you're right. It is a Wi-Fi network. It does really have internet, but we've restricted it to only our instructions. Yeah, you're technically right. Technically, it is an internet accessible network. We try not to say that because,
But when I use it with my iPad, I don't have an internet connection on my iPad.
That's correct.
So I cannot do two things together with it. So when a student wants to look something on the internet, while he is using eBot Pro, that's
correct. So they need to press the home button to exit the eBot viewer, go to the internet, then when they want to go back to eBot, exit the internet, go back to eBot viewer, that's correct. Something else that we're going to be working on. We need Apple's help and Google's help to do that, to allow two simultaneous internet.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah.
With the limited screen size of the iPad too, I think if you're doing something where you're switching back and forth from the internet to your magnified image, you might want to be on a PC anyway.
And a lot of accessibility programs are disable multi-view in the galaxies. So there is the ability to do multi-screen in galaxies, but generally if TalkBack or anything's active, that's disabled within Galaxy TouchWiz.
Yeah. In our industry, that's kind of the normal condition right now. But we're trying to work with, you know, Apple, Google, etc.
It's polite enough to tell you that it's disabling it, though, so that's really nice.
Yeah. When you get on, like we can Wi-Fi to a PC. Right now, we cannot Wi-Fi to a Mac. But with an upgrade, hopefully sometime this year, we'll also have the Wi-Fi to a Mac. But that would be one reason, for example, that you may not want to use the eBot's Wi-Fi connection to your laptop, you might want to use the USB 2.0 2.0 or 3.0 to a PC. The USB 3.0 is our only option to a Mac right now, because Mac requires the 3.0, wants to operate faster. And then you'll use your computer to go onto the internet over Wi-Fi. That way you can have both simultaneous.
Right.
Yeah. Good question. Good question. Because, yeah, somebody would figure that out within the first 5 minutes of use.
Yeah.
Okay, feel free. There's a number of staff, Michelle, myself, Randy, Daniel. We would be more or less the low vision, and Michael would be five people in our booth that would have expertise with the eBot. Feel free to ask any of us. We're more than happy to let you get your hands on the eBot. Okay. Thank you so much, everyone.
Exclusive audio coverage, visit blindbargains.com or download the Blind Bargains app for your iOS or Android device. Blind Bargains audio coverage is presented by the AT Guys online at atguys.com.
This has been another Blind Bargains audio podcast. Visit blindbargains.com for the latest deals, news, and exclusive content. This podcast may not be retransmitted, sold, or reproduced without the express written permission of AT Guys.
Copyright 2015.